Nothing yours, anything we take part in. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Nothing yours, we need a time of God of peace and of joy. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Thus, Señor, te muestro su poder y te tu paz. It is a beautiful morning. Absolutely a beautiful morning. For me to come and get my book. I'm sorry, no. For us to meet together and enjoy each other's company, to sing songs and praises. Todd, thank you so much for the song choices. They were absolutely awesome. For us to gather together and share a meal, I'll try and be swift, but I can't guarantee. If my stomach starts growling louder than I'm speaking, I'll try and close it off pretty quick. But this is an important topic that we need to talk about. The text that we read said that aside from us, they would not be made perfect. Now, we are made perfect, so there's an understanding there. And a lot of the times, when we get this word perfect, we have a different definition than the Bible. For us, the word perfect means without flaw. Webster's defines this word as entirely without fault or defect. Flawless. This is a picture of an 88-carat flawless diamond that sold for something like $12 million or something like that. But when we talk about flawless, that's what we're thinking. We're thinking without defect, absolutely perfect. And because of that, we are in a constant state of searching for this perfection. We want to be without flaw. We're looking for maybe the perfect body. We go to the gym all the time, or we diet so we lose weight, or we're just looking for the perfect body, or maybe we're looking for the perfect golf swing. Yeah, right? I love golf. I'm not very good at it. If I had a handicap, it would probably be my golf score, you know? And the reason I always went back to play golf, because I, even though I was so bad at it, because at least once during these 18 holes, I would hit a good golf shot. Just once. But it would make me go back because I was constantly searching for the right golf shot. Or maybe we're looking for the perfect president to vote for. You'll notice why I put it there, right? George Washington. Or, more close to home, sorry, am I hearing? We're looking to be the perfect Christian, right? We want to be the perfect Christian. That means the Christian without flaw. So we look at this as one who comes to worship service every time the doors are open. One who comes to Bible study every time the church is meeting, we are here. And we often, which is wrong, we often assign faithfulness to that. Well, there's a faithful Christian. They're at the building every time the doors are open. Those two don't necessarily meet. They ought to, but they don't necessarily meet. See, that was me trying to be perfect again. One who is generous. One who is caring. One who is loving all the time. Nary a horrible thought comes out of their brain or a word that comes out of their mouth that's not uplifting and kind and loving. We are trying to be the perfect Christian. But when the scriptures talk about us, or the people of the Old Testament, because that's what they were talking about in our text this morning, being made perfect, God doesn't mean without flaw. God doesn't mean entirely without fault or defect. It's not what he's talking about. Because we are all sinners. Therefore, we can never, ever, in our entire lives, meet our own definition of perfect. It will never happen. We've already failed that because we're sinners. but yet we strive, try, and need it anyway. Now, we go back to the Old Testament. We go back to the text that we were reading. It says that these things were a mere shadow of the things to come, right? And this idea of a shadow is a representation of something real. And it defines itself with its own word, shadow, right? We've often been out in the sun and we see the shadow that we cast. And here we have the picture of somebody casting a shadow. But there has to be a substance to that shadow. Listen to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. And I will tell you, Hebrews 10, Hebrews 11, and Hebrews 12 are such powerful, powerful scriptures for us to read. Talking about faith and what faith looks like. Talking about how we're justified. So if you have an opportunity, go back and read those texts. And not just read them and skim over them and flip the pages, but dig into them. Learn them. Sorry. I keep walking your way because I need to see the computer. So I'll read Hebrews 10, 1 through 4. For since the law has put a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of these realities, the law can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, they would not have ceased to be offered, since the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins. But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sin every year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and of goats to take away sins. Since the law was but a shadow of the kingdom to come, it could not provide what the kingdom provides. And that kingdom provides perfectness in the biblical definition, not our definition. The law cannot provide that perfectness because every time a worshiper would violate this law, he would have to bring his offering to the temple. And then after he brought his offering to the temple, he'd be perfect. He would be complete. He and God would be one until he sinned again. That's why the law could never complete us. The blood of bulls and goats doesn't take away sin. It is only the blood of Jesus that takes away sin. The law of Moses, with all of the sacrifices and all of its trappings, the tabernacle, the lampstand, the altar, the table of showbread, the Ark of the Covenant, all of this was nothing but a shadow. Nothing but a shadow of the things to come. But a shadow has to have a substance, right? If I'm standing in the sun and there's a shadow, it's my shadow. I'm the substance. I'm casting the shadow. But if the law was but a shadow, what was the substance that cast that shadow? When an Israelite would take his trespass offering, his sin offering, his guilt offering, his free will offering, any offering to the temple for sacrifice, it was nothing but a shadow of the sacrifice of Jesus. Colossians 2, 16 through 19. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. I picked this text. I went back to this because I'm going to come back and hit that word Sabbath in a minute. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism, and what that means is simply denying yourself anything and everything because you think that God doesn't want you to have it, so you deny yourself that. Asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by a sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, that's Jesus, from whom the whole body, that's us, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God. But I want to go back here to this first verse, verse 16, because I mentioned before that a lot of folks think that we are still under these 10 commandments listed in Exodus 20. Keep the Sabbath as one of those commandments. Now, we know that the law was done away with. We know that Jeremiah said this law is passing away, right? But right here, Jesus tells us it's nothing but a shadow. The Sabbath is nothing but a shadow of the things to come. Jesus fulfills the law. We're not under the law anymore. Now, I'll tell you, in some way, shape, or form, a lot of these things in Exodus 20 appear in our New Testament. But let's not get confused. The law has been nailed to the cross. The blood of Jesus cleanses our sins. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law of Moses, because Jesus completed the law. And that's what the word perfect means in the New Testament. It doesn't mean without flaw. It means complete. Now, as I was studying for this, let me read this. John chapter 19, verses 20-30. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up his ghost. That word "finished" in both of those texts is the word "perfect." That word "finished" is also translated "perfect." So it's not without flaw. Perfect in our New Testament is completed. To be perfect is to complete an activity, to bring to an end, to finish, to accomplish. So you can see why Jesus said that on the cross, "It is finished." He had accomplished his task. He had become the sacrifice. He had completed, fulfilled the law. And it was his blood now, his blood that was spilled for our sinful behavior. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," and in this context, he's talking about all those heroes of faith in chapter 11, right? He's talking about Noah, he's talking about Moses, he's talking about Abraham, he's talking about Sarah. He's talking about all these folks in chapter 11 that showed their faith through their actions. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings to us so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Looking to Jesus, the founder and completer, the founder and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, we are not complete without Jesus. We are incomplete. Only Jesus completes us. I often talk about this whole person concept. Sometimes we tend to focus on one or two things about people. Maybe we focus on academics. That's the big thing nowadays. It's a huge focus on academics. People will tell you that unless you go to college and get a degree, you can't do anything. And that's completely wrong, completely false. There are certainly people who need to be in college and need to get degrees. I absolutely believe that. But there are people that need to be in the trade schools and doing work and doing other kinds of work. I absolutely believe that. But we focus on things like academics or productivity or attitude or character instead of focusing on all of them. Becoming a whole person, becoming complete in Jesus. We are constantly trying to complete ourselves with other things instead of Jesus. Whether it be with academics or productivity, whether it be with with addiction to alcohol or drugs or sex or whatever it happens to be. These things run rampant in our society today, not just in the good old US of A, but it's a worldwide epidemic, right? Opioids are the big thing now. Everybody's addicted to opioids. I say that's an all-inclusive word, not everybody. A lot of people. It's a pretty bad addiction in the US of A and around the world. And this is where we're searching. These are the things we're using to try and complete ourselves, to try and perfect ourselves. For some reason, we think that if we are without flaw, we think that if we are completely or entirely without fault or defect, we think that if we are flawless or perfect, only then will we be complete. There is nothing further from the truth. We spend our lives striving for worldly perfection when all we need is completeness. I go back to chapter 11 of Hebrews and we look at those heroes of faith. And they weren't completed without the blood of Jesus. That's what Hebrews chapter 11, verses 39 and 40 were saying, that even they weren't made complete without the blood of Jesus. But we look at them, and even the title of that chapter, the heroes of faith, and we think about what great and excellent men and women there were. But yet, Abraham lied to Pharaoh. Sarah laughed at God. Moses disobeyed God and struck the rock. These people were not perfect. We are not perfect. We can never be perfect or without flaw, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We can never be perfect. But we can be perfect according to the biblical definition of perfect. Because the wage of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And that's how we become perfect, through the blood of Jesus. Because Christians are not a perfect people. We are just people who have been perfected or completed by Christ. We need to stop striving for perfection. We've already lost that battle. We can never regain it. We need to stop striving to be without flaw, to be entirely without fault or defect. And we need to submit to Jesus so that we can be perfected or completed through his blood. I want to read Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to start in verse 32, and I'm going to read all the way down through the end of our text there. And I want us to see this idea of completeness and perfection. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and David, of Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, women received back their dead by resurrection, some were tortured, refusing to accept relief so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Now you understand our text better. All these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Apart from the blood of Jesus, nobody is made perfect. Only by the blood of Jesus are any of us made perfect. So I would ask you this morning, have you been perfected? Have you been completed? Or are you striving for perfection to be without flaw? If you have not let Christ complete you, I would ask you, beg you, I would plead with you, come down front. Sit on one of these front chairs. One of our elders will sit with you. And you can tell them, I want Jesus to complete me. I want the blood of Jesus to wash my sins away. I want to rise to walk in newness of life. I want God to add me to his body. And then you can have your sins washed away. You can be united in Jesus' death so that you'll be united in his resurrection. Or maybe you're struggling as a Christian with this idea of perfection. And you need to lay aside this striving to be without flaw. And you would like us to pray for you. Come sit down here. Again, one of our elders will sit with you and wrap his arms around you and say, let us pray for you. We want to lift you up to the Father. We want to ask God to intercede on your behalf. You have a need. Let us show you the love of Jesus while we stand.
While we stand.